Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yes, a win for the Red Men. Liverpool through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League after a 2-0 home, in inverted commas, win. Finally, just what we needed.
There's nothing like a good home win in Budapest.
A good home win in the Champions League for Liverpool, where we've had to
thousands
fly
of miles away from home.
Greece, yeah, brilliant. Just what we needed. I'm Paul Mitch, and Ben Kelly joins me for this one. Ben was to say eager to get involved in this show.
Look, I'm sick of doing ones where we lose every week. I stay late after a game and I'm ready to do it and I am out with either you or Chris. And every single time I sit here and I have to talk about how we don't look like scoring and we didn't create enough chances. Well, tonight, Paul, tonight's my time to die.
This is your moment in the sun. Yeah.
Tonight we did.
And rightly so. And this is what we're all here for. The feedback's been great, on some of the other shows we've done post-match and whatever. And as well, it should be, because I genuinely feel this. I said this on the match reactions. I feel like a huge weight has been lifted off me. And look, I'm double screwed when Liverpool aren't playing well because it's my livelihood as well. But I can't help it. Long before I was making Liverpool videos, long before it was the centre of my every waking moment, my life from weekend would still, and weekend and week would still be ruined by Liverpool not winning a football match. You'd have the thunderclouds overhead for the whole time. But that's been building. I said we've never seen a Liverpool team as bad as put a badder run of form in as they've had recently. So you were in that world of like, where's the next win coming from? Where's the next goal coming from? Because we were thinking back to the last win, the last game, we beat Sheffield United, but it's the bottom team in the Premier League. So you're thinking back to the last performance where you were really happy. And it was Leipzig in the,
in the Premier League, West Ham. Yeah. And that feels like forever ago.
Yeah.
And I think we've discussed, and I think hopefully, and we said this after the first leg, so I'm trying not to get too hopeful. But I think we've discussed on shows and on build-up shows about how when you go away, I know we're at home, but when you have a change of scenery as players, and when you have a bit of a clean slate in a different tournament, and it's a little bit different, it can rejuvenise you. And I think that's what we saw tonight. Just that little bit of, we've had thick and fast Premier League games coming. And I think just the ability to shift focus and just look at something else. There's optimism within the Champions League, and we know that it's our competition, not only, for this side, but as a club. Yeah. And, all that stuff that sort of goes around at the moment, romanticism of it, it was really good to see that. And hopefully, having got the job done against, again, Germany's second best side, apparently, that will give us a lot more confidence, not just to do the first leg, but to see it through.
The Champions League stuff, because look, you're right, it doesn't necessarily, and it may not have any reaction to what happens in the Premier League and all that kind of stuff, so I'm not going to get too carried away. I'm going to enjoy this for now, because the wins have come so infrequently this year so far, that to like go, but what does this mean for Wolves? Look, that'll come, we'll do that, and we certainly will do that in the fullness of time.
But we keep saying, though, that consistent wins will only come once we start feeling a consistent side. Now, I know that's really difficult when it feels like we're getting new injuries all the time, but tonight was the first time I saw a Liverpool team where I thought for a long time this could be the starting side for a few weeks now, you know, because I've seen more than enough of Phillips now to convince me that he's going to keep starting. Mm-hmm. And Kabak, I thought, did all right as well tonight. So they're, providing that nothing happens to them, touch wood, you know, they're the two centre-halves. And then the midfield three were excellent. And that was an exciting midfield three that we wanted to see, you know, when that team came out.
Yeah, and you know, you're dead right. But my point in this is more, the thing about what the Champions League does is it gives you something to get excited for as fans and as the players. Look, when you're going from being the champions and all of a sudden you simply can't win that title anymore, so no matter how elite they are, and more so actually, this is probably one of those rare situations where psychologically it impacts someone who's at the top of the game more than it would people who were never going to reach that level, is that it's gone now. They're never going to get to celebrate, they're never going to get to parade that title, they're never going to, unless we win something else this season. The only thing else we can win is the European Cup. You can't have a parade because it's pathetic. You know, if we finish seventh in the Premier League and then do anything to parade that trophy, we've missed the window and it's a gutting, but that's just the nature of the world. Loads of people have had great.
Do you reckon we bring a Premier League trophy out on that parade?
I think we would. I honestly think we would. Yeah. And I think people would understand because of it and what have you. Or maybe we parade it before the last game of the season when there'd be fans in the ground, something like that. But the point is with this now, is there something to be won? So it's not like, because we all go, we'll just put it in and put a big shift in and get that Champions League place. But when you're conditioned to fight for success, you're fighting for mediocrity. And it's a very, you know, I say this all the time, when you aim for fourth, you more often than not finish outside the top four. You know, when you aim for the title and you fall short, you get Champions League football. When you shoot below that and you set your targets lower, it's easy to fall down. And I think right now, again, we've got, you can engineer games, you can engineer results, and again, you can, but your focus can be these games. So I'm not saying this is going to have a massive uptick in our form in the Premier League, although, you know, touch wood, the injuries thing, this felt like, and it's been coming for a week or two, we brought Naby Keita on into this game. And there's an argument that makes our midfield better. Mm-hmm. You know, we brought Divock Origi on and we played him centre forward, and he comes on and he gets an assist. He contributes positively towards the football match. Yeah. We bring Kostas Tsimikas on. We get Andy Robertson to get a little bit of a rest. And it's all around that. Like, we didn't even bring Curtis Jones on.
Yeah.
This is what
we've wanted to do all season. We've been banging the Robertson needs a rest drum for weeks and weeks and weeks, but we've never had the opportunity to do it because we find ourselves in silly situations in games where we're chasing goals or we look like we can't score and we need to keep the fullbacks on because they're a big provider of creativity and chances created. Yeah. So it was nice tonight, you know, especially with the aggregate cushion as well. You know, as soon as that goes 3-0, I know technically they could still score three goals and go through. Mm-hmm. But as soon as that goes 3-0 in aggregate, you know, we're all chilling out, aren't we?
And to be honest, I know some people might not have felt it because the nerves have been sort of jangled by the performances in recent weeks, but I never felt that game wasn't in our sphere of influence. And look, there's a couple of hairy moments. Alisson makes a good save. Forsberg puts one wide. They hit the bar. I think Alisson's probably got enough, gets enough on that if it dips under the bar, but they had some decent moments. But that Fabinho in midfield, it's that security. It felt like, I said this during the match, I think we've been doing an artist's impression of how Liverpool play for a number of weeks, and sometimes it's worked better than others. You know, we've had some decent build up play, gone into decent positions, and then lads have snatched the chances and they've not been too well. This game always felt like we can afford to miss a few chances here because we've never been clinical. This side's never been a clinical team. Klopp joked about it, like that's us. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the missing chance. We've always missed chances, but we've always felt become. We've always created more, and we've been able to create that kind of environment, and that's what this game was. And it comes back to the rotation of the players for me. Diogo Jota coming back, Bobby Firmino's out. Well, it's okay because Diogo Jota will start, and you could argue that that's our best front three. You know, so Jordan Henderson's out injured. Well, it's okay because we've now got a midfield of Fabinho, Thiago, and Gini. You know, three European Cup winners in the midfield there, and not just like how there's players you pick up a European trophy. Three integral players to the last two European Cup winning teams.
It just makes you wonder, does it, if all those players had stayed fit all season?
I have no doubt whatsoever. And it's funny because I have to write the book like we're gonna do something in the season every year. I've done it for the last 2 years and they've ended really well, mercifully. And I very nearly didn't bother last week. I very nearly just said I'm just giving up on this, but I've been chugging away on it. But I wrote after Spurs that I thought we'd walk the league then anyway.
Yeah.
But I genuinely, my point was, if we just didn't get Van Dijk injured, I think we'd have pissed the league this season. I genuinely think because our squad is amazing.
Yeah.
Everywhere else on the pitch, and I've forgotten what it feels like to be able to bring lads in who aren't just hitting hope. Mm-hmm. You're not praying that a 20-year-old Curtis Jones is good enough to play for Liverpool. You're not praying that the 7 million lad we bought from Leipzig is good enough to do the job. You're not hoping that, you know, the lad we bought from Stoke who doesn't really fit what we do can score loads of goals and create all the goals, and Divock Origi's going to be good enough, blah 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 blah. I was looking at Chelsea's side for the Everton game, and they, having started Timo Werner against us and they had Reece James on the right, they had Chilwell on the left. They rotated again, they put Alonso at left back, they brought Callum Hudson-Odoi back into the team, they started Kai Havertz up front, and they went and beat Everton 2-0. And it's like, we can't do that. We've not been able to do that for it. We've not been able to tell Mane or Salah or Firmino, have a week off.
And this is the season we should have been able to do that. You know, we've never been able to do that. I mean, think back to Kiev, and we're bringing Adam Lallana on for Mo Salah, and the game's over there and then, really.
Yeah.
This has always been a thing for us.
It's been years, you might think about Klopp's first season. We go away to West Ham with no Mane, and we have to start Origi and Sturridge up front.
Yeah.
We have to change our system to shoehorn what we've got. And that, you're right, that we've always had to just put odds and ends in and trying to make it work. This we've built the squad. We've been so decimated by massively unlucky injuries that we've not been able to showcase just how good. I mean, Thiago was a fucking revelation tonight. Like, he looked like the lad who everyone was like, was pairing over
but
at
that's,
but
what a coincidence, because who was in midfield with him tonight? Fabinho. The last quality performance, truly quality performance that Thiago put in for me, and I know he's been injured, was the Everton game at Goodison Park. Who was in midfield with him that day? Yeah. Fabinho. And somebody said it on Twitter tonight, I said it a few weeks ago, it's almost as if this is the midfield we sign in to play him in. The other role that we've been playing him, or we've had to be playing with him, isn't what we signed him for. Again, he's a luxury player. Yeah. He's not Gino Wijnaldum, he's not Jordan Henderson. He's not signed to go and do all the dirty work and all the running and all the closing down, all the good tackling.
I'm pretty sure he won more tackles than anyone on the pitch as well in the night.
Yeah,
he does
make the tackles. Yeah, he does do it. But what I'm
but
saying
he's not
is
doing it as last ditch.
He's not doing it as last ditch, but there's less pressure on him to do that sort of thing. What the midfield should be is two players in there, who, whether it be Jordan Henderson or Naby Keita or Gini Wijnaldum, and definitely Fabinho in the six. So it should be Fabinho, Henderson, for example, and then those guys should be doing all that to free Thiago up to have time on the ball to be able to pick the passes that he wants to play. And he's not been able to do that because both of those fellas, if not been injured, have been playing at centre-back.
Yeah, he got to be the complete, because I think he's a complete midfielder. He's tigerish, and he was going into 50-50s, and he was nicking the ball back off people. He was doing all the things that he's been doing. The problem is he's been doing it 10-15 yards deeper, and if he gets it wrong, you're giving away a free kick in a dangerous area, or you're letting people run free at your defence. There's been too much pressure on him to do. He is an exceptional defensive midfielder, I think, in terms of what he does, but that's not his major skill set.
No.
It's like
Karate kicks are his major skill set.
Apparently so. but that's it. It's like picking a... it's like getting Paul McCartney to drum on your album. Paul McCartney's a fantastic drummer. He was actually the best drummer in the Beatles. But you're wasting Paul McCartney to put him on drums. You know, have him sing, have him play bass, have him play guitar. You know what I mean? Thiago can do all that stuff. What we did, we gave him the platform to succeed tonight, and that platform was Fabinho. Missed him by a mile. We're going to talk about Fabinho a little bit more. We're going to talk about Nat Phillips more in a second. We had a super chat actually just quickly, but which we'll tie into this. Finn Wiley saying Phillips is doubling his value every time he plays. Solid player, Fabinho in the the DM is the only way forward up the Reds. We'll discuss both of those points in a minute. We're just going to take a very, very short interlude. And normally we don't do this on the Instant Match, but Ben's got a documentary coming out streaming tonight from midnight on the RedmenTV.com. It's Atletico, Liverpool vs Atletico, 1 year on. We'll give you a little sneak peek on that, and then we're going to carry on with the show.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Absolutely amazing. Welcome back. Yes, we're going to be talking about Phillips and Fabinho in 2 seconds. But yeah, Ben, the documentary you've poured, you've put a lot into this over the last month or so.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, I know we've been pushing it a lot over the last few days, but like, I've really enjoyed putting it together, and I think it's really important that we talk about it in a way, because you know, Paul said the other day that it is different to a lot of the stuff that we do. You know, and I grew up wanting to be a journalist, and I took the opportunity to do some journalism, basically, and I went out and I spoke to people, and I spoke to specifically, probably most importantly, NHS staff. And I got the stories about what it was like to work in Liverpool hospitals in lockdown one. And there's a section in the middle that I think everybody should see, because it's really powerful, really strong. It's all completely authentic. I just asked them questions and they just talked. And yeah, it's really strong. So head over to the Redmen TV in about an hour at redmentv.com, and it'll be out. If you want some late night viewing, go and have a look at that. Give us all the feedback you can.
Yeah, that'd be much appreciated. Yeah, we've been trying to build up this bank of really brilliant sort of timeless content for Liverpool, and this is obviously quite pertinent at the moment with Liverpool.
It's a year to the day tomorrow that any English ground was full.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's why we're doing it.
And it's got a bit of that. It's got a bit of the football. It's got some great unseen footage from the Atletico game as well. And obviously, I don't think a lot of people were maybe emotionally ready for this a day or two ago, but we've won a game now.
Yeah,
if you really want a bit of, you know, just a proper thing. We do lots and lots of documentary stuff, and we do joy. I think someone once described us as doing joy very well on the Redmen. But this has got a real, it's a really passionate thing. It's a real emotional thing. If you really like to feel your feelings with your documentaries, then check it out. It's streaming from midnight tonight on the RedmenTV.com. Go and sign up for that. Yeah, anyway, again, I'm made up with the stuff we're doing. Cop Chronicles is out on Friday, part 3 as well. So do check that out. So if you want something a bit more lighthearted as well, there's loads of stuff for you there now. Yes, Finn Wiley's super chat was spot on. Phillips gets better and better and better. It'd be stupid and churlish and a bit like pointless for me to talk about him and his long-term future and all that, because I'm not sure he's got a long-term future at Liverpool, but I don't care. I don't think that's important. What's important right now is he's come into this Liverpool side. We need centre-halves, and he's gone, Ben, from not even being registered for the Champions League squad to go in and put in a man of the match performance in the last 16. He deserves all the praise in the world.
Can I ask you, why might he not have a long-term career at Liverpool as it stands? Why do you feel that?
Because I just think we need... I don't think he's in the class of Matip or Gomez.
If he becomes the Dejan Lovren replacement and saves us £20 million, and that's all he ever is, then why can't he be that? He's 23. He'll get better.
I'm trying to maintain the spirit of positivity. He's nowhere near as good as Dejan Lovren. Like, I don't know. He's doing brilliantly. Every defender makes mistakes, and he will do that at some point, and he will cost us a game at some point, because that's the level he's at. The thing I'd say about him, I love him, and he's a great highlights defender. there was a couple of moments in there where his positional sense could have got us into real trouble in that game. But look, he stepped to the plate. I love Nat Phillips. I think he's great. I get so much pleasure watching him play because he's the anti-Van Dijk. I love Virgil van Dijk because he makes everything look easy. Nat Phillips makes everything look really difficult. Like, he's giving every ounce of his body for the cause, and there's something really lovable and, like, you know, that you can really empathise with that. I've seen people reference John Terry. I've seen people reference Jamie Carragher. He's got that, you know, he's got the headband bandage on, and he's heading stuff away. And look, we need some cult heroes. You know what it's like? Neil Mellor from 2004, 2005 was never really good enough to be a centre forward for Liverpool, but he went out every time he played like this was his one moment to play in that shirt, and it shows how much it meant to him. And you know, particularly European campaigns, you create some unlikely heroes on the way, if you know, in these kind of competitions, and Nat Phillips could well be one of our cult heroes of the year. I've already seen people talking about getting like Nat Phillips shirts, and I'll do it. Go out, get it. He's going to be a treasure from this season, as far as I'm concerned.
It will be interesting now as we don't go deep into this competition, and obviously he is forced to play more. If we go and draw PSG in the next round, how does he do? Yeah. You know what I mean? And if he, but you know, there could come a point where the scales do tip, you know, in your mind or in everybody else's mind, where, you know, if he goes out and it plays this well against somebody like PSG or Bayern Munich, then, you know, then you never know.
Oh, yeah.
You never know.
You're absolutely
right.
I'm not trying to be a twat over this.
No.
And I'm not saying you are. I don't want to sit here when this lad's just at the game of his life in the Champions League for us. Let's celebrate Nat Phillips. Let's sing his, let's give him a song. Let's get his shirt. Let's do all this stuff. Get his face on a banner, anything. You know, I'm made up for him. Long may it continue. I just wouldn't
rule him out having a longer term.
No, fine. That's absolutely fine. You're right. I genuinely hate when people do that. But what I mean, I don't see it as a disrespect. Liverpool are the best football club, are one of the best teams on the planet right now. To not quite be at the level to be a regular for Liverpool is no disrespect to Nat Phillips at all. This is a lad who was probably going to be playing second tier football 6-7 months ago, and now he's playing in the Champions League for Liverpool. He'll be a great story. Liverpool's littered with players who do that, come in, do something for us, get written in folklore, and then move on and go and have the careers that they go and have. Some lads never get that opportunity. In another world, he'd be nowhere near Liverpool's team, but he is, and he's there. He's able. He's available for football matches. Absolutely great. Couple of super chats just quickly. Joshua saying, when Salah smiles, I smile. Ray J saying Messi out, Ronaldo out, Divock to the quarterfinals. You know, they're real heroes in the Champions League.
It's a very good point, well made.
Yeah, rising. Rafa here actually makes a good point. Said Nat will be a fine fifth choice centre back next season. Hopefully, we only need him for 5 or 6 games. And look, but it's also the point is that he's going to get a fine pick of clubs in the summer.
If he wants to.
Yeah, you know, he could, because there might be Premier League clubs. You know, again, he's gone from Stuttgart. Look, Stuttgart let us take him back from loan for 2 games in January last year.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? That was where he was at.
Then he knocked Everton out the cup and fucked off again. It's great.
Exactly. Like, you know, he comes in, knocks Everton out, has one more place on the bench, and then goes back out on loan for the season.
My job is done.
That's it. And he might be able to play Premier League football off the back of this, and that'll be absolutely brilliant. He could go and be a starting centre half for a decent football team, and probably have and earn some good money off the back of it. Great, absolutely great. And if we do keep him, I'm not asked. Keep him if he can play. If he puts in performances like he's been putting in for that, I've got zero problems with him staying at Liverpool.
Here's where I'm at. I haven't seen anything yet to conclusively prove to me that he's better than Ozan Kabak. That he's worse than Ozan Kabak. That was the phrase I was looking for. We're going to potentially go and pay £20 million for Kabak in the summer, and I haven't seen anything yet that says that Kabak's better than Phillips conclusively.
See, for me, the reason that Phillips has a good game is because Kabak has a really good game tonight. And Kabak doesn't draw the eye in his performance.
Phillips has had good games in games.
Oh, no. But what I mean tonight, Phillips was the lad who went and front-footed everything. Mm-hmm. You need that. It's a centre-back partnerships dovetail, and Kabak did all the understated stuff for us in that game. He was the one where Nat Phillips charged in and missed it, who's the one getting the touches and the blocks? There's a couple of opportunities where Leipzig can get in because Nat Phillips is out of position and they capitalise, and who's there? And he's not there throwing his body and doing big slideys. He's just getting a little clip on something. He's getting his foot. He's getting in the way. He's stopping things. He's not had a highlights reel performance there, Kabak. But I actually think he played as well as Nat Phillips. Mm. It's just that it's not as demonstrable as what Phillips does, because we all look out for these big tackles, yeah, the big headers and the big things. And I thought they were both really, really good tonight.
Splitting opinion in the comments, I'll tell you that. Loads of people obviously saying that we're doing a Phillips a disservice, but then there's other people saying, you know, sort of more agreeing with you. I think that was Kabak's best game so far. What was the other one? Jesus, Phillips was solid, but he's slow, he's stiff, he's not the class Liverpool needs. So I think it's just a matter of time. I think with this
ben
time,
beggars
we'll
can't be choosers.
Yeah,
we
yeah,
don't
absolutely.
Have any
yeah,
other
yeah.
centre-halves. To get upset and to criticise Nat Phillips is just fucking pointless. It's like going outside and shouting at the clouds because it's raining, you know what I mean? Mm. What are you? Great, well done. You've burned off a bit of energy, but you've not changed the situation any for it. He's really good. I mean, I can't say this enough. Nat Phillips has put in some heroic shifts to Liverpool. But that's why I love him. He's a bit of an everyman in that. You know, I'm loving the fact that, like, the Bolton Baresi nicknames, and I'm loving this, you know, it's a bit, you know what it's like? It's John Flanagan again. You know, yeah, nobody, you know, yeah, Flanny Alves and the Scouse Cafu and all that. You know, he's coming in. He's absolutely dying for the shirt. He's not putting a foot wrong in any you know significant way for us. He's bailing us out of the shit, and he's doing it at a really high level. Can he sustain that? Probably not. And that's not a disrespect. It's just that we've got the best centre-half on the planet at Liverpool Football Club, and everyone, you know, he's the benchmark. Joe Gomez is brilliant. I don't think people forget how brilliant Joe Gomez is, and Matip is exceptional as well. But we don't, none of those players are available to us. Nat Phillips has come in, and he's fine, and I'm enjoying it, and we should, because it's proper Liverpool to embrace these, like, the working-class heroes of a guy coming in from out of the cold to just make himself a cult figure at the club. Long may it continue. But the thing is, you know, again, for Kabak, he's 20 years old. And again, we're not talking about the fact that a 20-year-old centre-half who we've brought in, who's been raved about. And there's some people I think have been very unfair in criticism of Kabak, probably because we were all just feeling dead negative and horrible, and he got and Alisson Becker ran out of his goal and boosted him. You know what I mean? It was one of those things. And I still say that was Kabak should have got the fuck out of his way, but it is what it is. He's 20 years old. Like, he's, for some reason, he's not been given the slack that we gave Reece Williams. Like, worth remembering.
Because he was our saviour, because he came in.
Fucking hell. In December, people were going, Reece Williams has got shades of Virgil van Dijk. It's like, just chill out. Like, I mean, just let him be what he'll be. Let him be this young centre-half who drops in. We don't seem to be treating Kabak with that at the moment. And it's because he plays a little bit like Dejan Lovren. And I think because we've all got these fears that he's going to be like that, he's just been dead solid. Kabak's getting better game on game. Here we are debating like it matters. Like, he's better than him and he's better than him. It doesn't matter. We've got a centre-back pairing. We've just played our eighth different centre-back pairing in eight Champions League games, and that was the fourth time we've had two actual centre-halves play together in the Champions League this season out of that. And there's a really good chance that they're going to start again against Wolves, and there's a chance that by the time the next round rolls again, they'll play again at centre-half. I hope they do solidify themselves, and moreover, I hope that Ben Davies is available now, and I hope he's banging on the door, and he's going, and he's doing everything in his power to prove that he should be the guy in that side, because that's what we want. We actually want options. But the first stage is to have players be fit for more than three games and form a partnership. So, yeah, again, long may he reign. King Phillips at the back.
Absolutely.
Header of footballs and all things. Loads of this game to talk about. There's loads of amazing points. I could do...
That was just the centre-backs.
That was just the centre-halves and a little bit on the midfielder. We are going to be covering every player in depth and detail on the Final Word Show tomorrow. Yeah, if you're a YouTube member, you get the Monday Final Word Show. But if you want every show that we do, sign up to RedmenTV.com. You get Ben's documentary. You get all the additional stuff I get. We're pulling together content. So it's not just us talking about the footy, documentaries, mini-series, interviews with Liverpool legends, loads of insight into the culture of Liverpool Football Club. Again, it is basically, we're trying to create Netflix for Liverpool fans over on RedmenTV.com. And it also supports everything we do for free on YouTube as well. So yeah, if you want to get involved with that, do get involved with that. Damien Jarovsky asking with the super chat, how long till Van Dijk's back? Doesn't matter now because we've got Nat Phillips, simple as. Yes, and we have got, as an additional bonus, by the way, if you want to join us over on the website, we've got two tiers for you. We've got Club Captain and Club Legend. Club Legend comes with a load of extra bonus features like discounted merchandise, free merchandise, when we can do live shows again, free tickets and all that stuff. And there's an amazing competition running. We're going to show you what that is right now. So if you needed any more additional perks, not just the amazing content that we're doing for you, there's loads of extra bonus things as well to make your life happy and smile and all that good stuff as well. So thank you very much for joining us into the Match Reaction. Check us out the Final Word tomorrow and also have a look at our amazing competition right now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.